Joel Booker. I think it was about 1981. The Booker family arrived in California. I suppose some of you see the Booker family as they are now. But in 1981, when they arrived, it was like a reactment of the grapes of wrath when they pulled into town. But the Booker family found a place in our hearts. And the Booker family has been a blessing, thank God, to California. They really have. They really have. Praise God. And Brother Joel Booker, that's coming here in just a moment. And let me say this, that many years ago, Brother Booker, their father, Brother Larry Booker, he asked me to help him with his boys. He being a pastor and the father of his boys and the pastor of his boys, he said there may be a time when me as their pastor, and yet I'm their father, and yet I'm the pastor, that they need someone to go to. And he said, I want you to play that part. I want my boys to feel free to come to you anytime that they want to. And I want you to feel free to talk to them. Now, not because it was me, but there's safety in that. There's safety in that. And I have talked and counseled with his boys. And there's been times I've talked to them, and Brother Booker didn't know anything about it. You say, boy, no, that's not wrong, because he asked me to do that. Praise God. And thank God these three boys are living for God today. Praise God. Now, what I did not take into account, that two of his boys married girls from my church. So, anyway, but thank God, Brother Joel Booker, he chickened out. He was the last one to get me. He chickened out, and he got somebody from Rialto. God bless him. But we appreciate Brother Joel Booker. He assists his dad. He has preached here and there and wherever, and assisted his dad, and has a ministry and the anointing and the blessing of God upon him. And I will say this. It doesn't bother me to pick up the phone and call Brother Joel Booker. He's easily entreated. It wouldn't bother me to talk to him about anything that I feel like I would need to be talked about. Now, what I've just explained to you about Brother Booker, myself, and these boys and whatever, some of you may not understand that, and some of you may not go for that. But that's the reality of life, and you'll just have to balance it out. But it's worked in this situation. What this is all about is all of us being saved. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord as Brother Joel Booker comes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Amen. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, every now and then you got to just stop and take inventory about how good God has been to you. He said he forgives all thine iniquities. Is anybody thankful your sins have been forgiven this morning? Hallelujah. David went on to say, he healeth all thy diseases. Anybody believe that? Anybody get healed in your body last night? David said, he redeems your life from destruction. He crowneth you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I believe God wants to do something great here today. Does anybody believe that with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I want to say how good it is to be here. West Coast Conference 2010 and with Elder Morton at Truth Tabernacle. And we appreciate so much both this great, great man, my elder, one of my elders that I love so much, and this church that has put on this conference. And I know you're holding your Bible, so I won't have you clap for him, but we love and appreciate this church, don't we? Can you say amen? Amen. And I am one of probably a smaller crowd all the time just because of the years that have been here every year at West Coast Conference, this Fresno meeting, for the last 28 years. And I was talking to somebody, but this building and buildings up and down this street, there are memorials that have been built all up and down this place. I know it's been used for civic auditoriums. I saw confetti falling. Somebody told me Arnold Schwarzenegger showed up a few days ago. But I, when I come here, I think about times laying on this floor when the Holy Ghost moved and God touched our hearts and minds. Aren't you thankful for what the Lord is here to do again? Amen. Appreciate Elder Morton and putting this together. So good to be here with my family and my wife, my two boys. Love them. And I got the best. I married my best friend, and God is so good to me. Amen. And I did get her from Rialto, but we are sending good young men from Rialto to Fresno. Speaking to one this week that was fishing in that there pond. Amen. I'll let him get shot at. Hallelujah. And, good to be here with my wife and kids, my mom and dad, my heroes. I love them. Appreciate them so much. And my brothers, Philip and Larry, and their wives and kids, and my uncle Gary and Aunt Dolores, you brother and sister Howard, but that's my uncle and my aunt. And how many appreciate the word of the Lord we heard last night? Hallelujah. Good to be here with the good saints of Rialto, and love and appreciate you so much. Amen. Hadn't the preaching been beautiful? Amen. Amen. The first night, Brother Copeland, and yesterday, good friends, Brother Bray, Brother Lackey, and then last night again, Brother Howard. And I just feel like we're here to set something up for what God wants to do today. Looking forward to the preaching of the word, Brother Don Heiler, my good friend. And there's no telling what God wants to do this morning. And then tonight, Elder Morton, I'm just believing for good church and God to do beautiful, beautiful things. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, I know you're standing, so let's get to the word of the Lord. Verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4, if you have it, say amen. This is the story of Matthew's account of the calling of four of the 12 apostles. You can also find it in Mark 1, but I want to read Matthew's account in Matthew 4 and 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net." Everybody say, casting a net. "Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." I want you to notice they were already involved in the work of fishing. "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Upon hearing the beautiful call of Jesus. And then he goes in verse 21 and says, "And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets." Everybody say, mending their nets. "Peter and Andrew were casting nets, and James and John were mending their nets. And he called them." And I imagine he used the same words in verse number 19. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they reacted the same. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. For just a little bit today, if you'll allow me, I want to preach on the subject, fishers of men. Fishers of men. And I want God to talk to somebody. Is anybody going to open your hearts, your spirits to the word of the Lord? Any young people that have come on a Friday morning with a hunger and a desire? I've come to preach to everybody, but I'm looking for some young men and some young ladies that will open your heart up. Will you help me preach this morning? Are you hungry for the word of the Lord? Let's talk to the God this morning. Let's ask that he would move, that he would minister today. Come on, help me pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. God, ask you to move all across this place today. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Shake hands with somebody before you're seated. Tell them it's good to be at West Coast on a Friday morning. Amen. I want to begin this morning by saying that I don't believe it was by accident that when Jesus was going to choose some disciples that he went by the Sea of Galilee. I don't think it was by accident that when he chose disciples, he picked some men that were involved in the work of fishing. I'll just tell you up front, I believe he wanted some people that knew how to fish. I don't think it's by accident that when you look at the makeup of the 12 apostles, that 4 out of 12, one third of the apostles were fishermen. And he didn't go looking on somebody's front porch for somebody that was sound asleep, sacked out at noon to find somebody to be involved in his work. But he went where somebody was already working, involved in the work of fishing. I'll just tell you, I think he wanted people that knew that incredible feeling of catching fish to be involved in the work of catching men. Can you say amen? It's been a few years ago now, but me and several men from the church, I was young and foolish and had more money than sense. I didn't have a lot of money, but I had very little sense and living at home. And so we took a trip up to Alaska to go fishing. And I'm not a great fisherman. In fact, I don't really even enjoy fishing, but I do really like catching fish. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sitting there getting a worm wet is not my idea of a good afternoon. Now, I'll sit there and let the worm drown while I read a good book. But sitting there waiting just for nothing to happen doesn't do anything for me. But when we went up to Alaska, we did a couple of different fishing charters. And one of the neat ones that we did, we went halibut fishing. And the morning that we went out, it was a smaller boat, about in my opinion, when you're out there and on the ocean, about 28 feet. And there was some swells that day, about 8 feet high. And that's not huge, but it's enough in a 28-foot boat to, just to get you thinking about other things than fishing, if you know what I'm talking about. And halfway through the morning, I was kind of holding on to the side of the boat. And as the day went, my knees are getting weaker and weaker. And I was doing all I could to keep my breakfast down. And I was standing on, some of you are laughing. Why is it that somebody else being seasick is the funniest thing you've ever seen, but being seasick is just horrible? There's just something about it. And so I was there and I was doing good until the other guy that was fishing with, not to be graphic, but his lunch floated by and I joined the crowd at the side of the boat. And I'll never forget, I was there and I was doing my best to, you know, add my part to that part of the Alaskan habitat and environment and just kind of edifying the fish in my own way. And all of a sudden, my pole was off to the side and it began to dip a little bit. And to be honest, I could have cared less if the fishing pole had jumped in the water. I had other things on my mind. But the pole kept wiggling and the deckhand came over and said, "Hey man, you got a fish on the line. Are you interested?" He could tell I wasn't all that much. And I thought, no, we spent this money and this time, and what a dumb thing to do not to at least try to get a fish. And so I go over to the pole and I begin to reel it in. And some of you have caught larger fish before, and these were kind of unique poles. But anyway, when you with a fish that's bigger, you pull your pole up and you reel as the pole is going down, because you can't reel with it right there. They're just too big. So you pull them up and reel as you go down. And so I'm kind of rocking anyway, and my pole's doing this, and I'm just really not all that into it, let me just tell you. But as I begin to do it, the deckhand, I noticed he walked over again, and he began to look at the pole and began to look at the line and began to look out at the water. And he kept, we'd walk off, and then a minute later, the captain of the boat's over there, and I'm just not all that into this. But I know something's going on, and the deckhand looked at me and he said, "Buddy, you got something big on that line right now." Well, I started perking up a little bit, and I'm into it a little bit more, and started reeling that thing in. And I was sick. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't feel good. I was not all that interested in fishing. But I will never forget the moment when the back of that 225-pound halibut broke the surface of the water. 6'4" and 225 pounds, bigger than I. And I'm getting excited now and begin to reel that baby in. And when they got it to the edge of the boat, let me tell you, halibut is a pretty powerful fish. Before it was over, they had gaffed it, of course, and they had harpooned it a couple of times, and the thing is just going nuts. It's still out in the water, and finally they get a 410 shotgun. Yes, they did, and shot that thing, and it's still going crazy. Had a lot more energy than I did, and I apologize to all animal lovers. If there's a halibut lover here today, I've never heard. I'd like to meet you, actually. I like mine deep fried. Hallelujah. And so we get the halibut. They finally get it. They got it gaffed, and they bring it over the side of the boat. And my brother-in-law is catching a fish at the same time, big one. And the fish is so powerful. It's flopping all over the boat, and he finally just stands on top of it. 160, 170 pound man, and that halibut is picking him up and putting him down, and he keeps reeling, catching his fish. I just want to tell you today, I was as sick as a dog. I wasn't all that interested. There were 8-foot swells. It was cold. I wanted my mama. But at that moment, when that halibut came over the side of the boat, I forgot all about being sick that day. And I've just come to preach to somebody that I believe that Jesus was looking for somebody that knew that incredibly addictive feeling of reeling in a big fish. When Jesus went by the Sea of Galilee, he wanted somebody that knew what it was for the pole to come alive and begin to quiver and shake, and that fish to break the surface of the water, when he would look at some men and say, "Come on, guys, I want you to come up higher. No more halibut, no more trout. We're not talking bass now. I want you to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I've come to preach to some people today. There's nothing like being involved in the work of God. I've come to preach to some young men with energy and strength today. Can I preach to you? There is nothing. You will never find excitement, and you will never find joy like you will find in catching men. I've come to preach about revival. Is that all right? Anybody excited to be a part of what the Lord is doing? Oh, you ought to clap your hands and lift your voice and give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated this morning. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. We read in Matthew 4 about men that were involved in fishing. Now listen. I don't think it's by accident that when Peter and Andrew were found, they were casting their nets. Everybody say casting their nets. And then when James and John were found, they were mending their nets. Everybody say mending their nets. I believe that Jesus wanted this. And if you'll allow me, I believe it absolutely typifies and teaches us, illustrates two very important parts to catching fish. If you're going to catch fish, you got to cast the net, but you've also got to do some net mending. Does anybody believe that today? Amen. And you look at James and John, and it seems that as Jesus found them mending nets, that's how they continued in their ministry. Amen. I know they ended up catching fish and they cast their nets, but they seem to typify perhaps more than Peter and Andrew the ministry of mending of nets. I'll never forget my dad talking about when they went to Israel and they were by the Sea of Galilee several years ago. There was an old man, sitting by the Sea of Galilee. He had a pile of nets there and he was putting them together. He was mending those nets, and he said it was like something right out of the Bible, as that old man sat there. And he told my dad something that I've never forgot. He said, "If you come back in 20 years, I will still be sitting here if I'm alive. And I will be mending my nets." And I want to tell you today that you cannot catch fish without taking time to mend your nets. That's why John, when he would write, he would take time to mend nets about basic doctrines that we all believe. He didn't have any problem mending nets of the oneness of God. In John 1:1, it's why the net mender said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. In John 14, he mended the net when he said, that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And Philip saith unto him, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest not that the words I speak unto thee, that they are not my own, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I've come to tell you, he was mending the nets of the oneness of God. Amen. That's why he would take time to mend nets of the new birth message. It was John that said in John 3, verse number 3, verily, that means amen. Verily, that means truly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then to make it very clear for anybody that wanted to confuse it, he said, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Anybody believe you got to be baptized in Jesus' name? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Anybody believe you got to receive the Holy Ghost talking in tongues? Amen. That's why John said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Anybody believe you gotta have the Holy Ghost? That's why John said this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He was mending nets, and I've come to preach to somebody today. Listen, don't ever get uptight when your pastor gets up on a Wednesday night and begins to teach the oneness of God. Amen. Amen. We are living long past the day when you could just take for granted that by some kind of osmosis, the youth group would get the revelation. We live in a day where we need to preach it and preach it again. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, he warned them about false doctrine. And then he said, as we said before, so say I now again. It's time to say it again. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. It's important that we mend nets. It's important that we mend nets. I want you to notice, it's part of the fishing process. Have you ever noticed that apparently Jesus did two different miraculous, huge catches of fish with the disciples? One was in the first part of his ministry in the book of Luke chapter 5. And in that time, the Bible says that their nets begin to break because it was such a great catch of fish. And their boats literally almost begin to sink. I'll just tell you up front, I want that kind of revival. Amen. I ain't looking for the boat to sink. I ain't looking for the nets to break. But I want enough fish where I'm working and scrambling, because I want that kind of revival. But in John chapter 21, Jesus did it again. And can I tell you, he always likes to do it again. But this time, when the fish came on board, I don't read where one net broke. I don't read where the boats begin to sink. And I believe what happened is somebody between Luke 5 and John 21 had been mending their nets. Hallelujah. I come to tell somebody, it's time to get ready for revival. It's time for a move of the Holy Ghost. And you want to know how to get ready for the Holy Ghost? Mend your nets. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't be fishing with holes in your nets. Great gaping holes in your nets. You give it enough time and that's all you'll have in your nets. It's great big holes and fish swimming out of your nets. Amen. I know there's a lot of people that seem to be saying, let's make the fish comfortable. They seem to be more interested in making fish happy than in catching fish. They want their nets the most comfortable. And listen, we want our church to be comfortable. That's why we got padded pews. You're not sitting on the floor, did you notice? That's why we put air conditioning in the place and we heat the baptistry. Amen. Anybody ever been baptized in cold water? I was. Reno in September. 6 years old. Amen. I got the Holy Ghost. I had stammering lips already. I was ready for the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with baiting the hook a little bit. With making it look nice. You know, some people out there fishing with just a hook sitting in the water. You don't have to slap them upside the face with the truth. You can present it with love and kindness and gentleness and grace. This gospel will work. You don't have to arm dynamite. It's powerful. But having said all that, my friend, these nets are not just to make fish a nice hotel. We're here to catch fish. We're here. And brother, it's time to mend nets every now and then. Can I preach to you a little bit? That's why your pastor every now and then, he's got to get up and say, girls, you need to get your skirts below your knee. You need to get your necklines up. That's what my pastor preaches at home. Yes, he does. Hallelujah. That's why your pastor every now and then got to walk by and say, dude, comb your hair again. And it's not just the pastor's job. There ought to be some daddies that know how to look at your daughter and say, you know, there's a hole in that net. And Jesus wants to send revival to my church. There's young people God wants to pack this place out with. And I don't want my young lady to be a hole in the net. And that's why I'm glad to be with some of you men here. You know how to look at your daughter and say, young lady, sorry baby, I love you. You know I love you. But we're going to an apostolic Holy Ghost revival church. And we're going to make it right. We're going to mend some nets. Amen. Can I talk to some mamas? You ought to be modeling a mended net lifestyle. Mama, that girl ought to look at you and say, she wants revival. She loves this truth. She dresses right because she loves God and loves souls. I've come to preach. You got to mend nets. Anybody thankful for a pastor? Anybody thankful for a preacher? You ought to lift your hands as high as you have ever this conference and thank God. Thank God for your preacher. Come on, young people, thank God. Come on, young lady, thank God. Come on, sister, praise God. I tell you, there's revival coming. I tell you, there's revival coming. I tell you, Holy Ghost wants to come. Anybody want to get ready? Anybody want to get ready? You ought to praise Him with your whole heart today. Amen. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Anybody going to help me preach a little bit here? You can be seated. Amen. A balanced apostleship always includes net mending. You're not going to catch fish without mending nets. But on the other hand, it's really not on the other hand, on the same hand. I want you to notice that Jesus did not say, follow me and I will make you a mender of nets. Jesus did not say, it's part of it. But he did not say, follow me and I will make you a washer of nets. Jesus did not say, although if you're going to catch fish, you got to do it. Follow me and I will make you a repairer of sails and a man that goes around scraping the barnacles at the bottom of the boat and getting things ready. And I want to tell you again, a true fisherman must do all these things. But when Jesus gave the call that is burning in my soul today, he said, follow me. Follow me. Young man, he said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And I know I'm reading a little bit into this, but it's interesting that Peter and Andrew, when he found them they were casting their nets. And I think perhaps it typifies and illustrates their ministry. I mean, because they were always casting nets the rest of their days. Does anybody know that Peter knew how to catch fish? The Peter that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And before it was over, 3,000 people are baptized in the name of Jesus. And when you look at the life of Andrew, Andrew was the consummate. He was the epitome of a fisherman. If you ever looked at Andrew's life, we don't read a lot about him compared to Peter. But every time you find him, he was bringing people to Jesus. Anybody glad you've been brought to Jesus today? You can read about it in John chapter 1. In John's account of the calling, or perhaps the recalling of Andrew and Peter. John tells us that John the Baptist had said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew heard it and he went and he followed the Lamb. But it's neat. He didn't just follow Jesus. He didn't just follow Jesus and forget about his family. He didn't just follow Jesus and forget about his city. He didn't follow Jesus and forget about his brother. But the Bible says in John 1 and 40, Andrew first findeth his own brother Peter. And I know that word first means in chronology. It was the first thing that he did. But if you'll allow me this morning, I believe as well, it's referring to the fact that this was the first person that Andrew found. And I've come to preach to somebody today. Have you found that first person yet? Young man, have you found your first convert yet? Saint of God, I know you pray and I'm glad about it. I know you give and you gotta give. But have you found that first soul? Oh, time to reach for somebody today. It's time to first find somebody. And can I take it further? If you found somebody, are you looking for the next one? Are you looking for somebody else? Are you so wrapped up in the economy and your job and your home that you can't look around and see people as people, but you see them as trees walking? But somebody needs a touch of God to touch your eyes today, that when you walk out of this place and you walk down the street, that maybe that homeless man, you see him as a soul. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. It's time to find somebody and cast your net. Andrew didn't stop there in John chapter 6, verse 8. It was Andrew that brought the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus. Nobody else seemed to know what to do in that situation. They needed to feed people. But Andrew finds this little boy. Now listen to me. I wonder what we would have done with that little boy. I really doubt that he looked like a miracle that would feed thousands. I doubt that little boy with that little lunch looked like a character that we'd be preaching about at West Coast Conference 2,000 years later. I doubt he looked like the power-packed young boy that he was. But on that day, Andrew, he didn't know much, but he knew, take him to Jesus. Take him to Jesus. I got a feeling he'd have been a good Sunday school worker. I got a feeling he'd have been good working with bus kids. This, and some of you I'm preaching today, you work with bus kids. Snotty-nosed bus kids that put holes in the pew and holes in the wall if you don't watch them. And they run off the bus and they're rambunctious and they're there for the donuts and they're there for the cookies half the time. But if you can never get an attitude like Andrew, little do you know what's packaged in those little boys and those little girls. I've come to preach to a Sunday school teacher. Go home and bring him to Jesus. I've come to reach for a bus captain today. Get a new fresh anointing. You're not just doing it because it's what you do on Saturday. You're doing it because they're a soul. Bring him to Jesus. Oh, God, give us revelation. If some of you could see what you've been driving on that old Sunday school bus. If some of you could see what you've been teaching in that Sunday school class. If some of you could see what is packaged in that neighborhood kid that runs up and down and steals your newspaper and throws rocks at your dog. I've come to tell you, there may be preachers there. There may be mission there. Are you hearing me? Somebody needs to see it. Bring them to Jesus. Amen. I read in John 12, Andrew the consummate fisherman. First of all, Philip is there. And there's these men, these Hellenistic Jews, these Greeks. They come to Philip and they say these words, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Can I tell you, some fish are more hungry than others. These were ready to see Jesus. And Philip was a little new at this, but he knew there's somebody that I need to be talking to. He knows what to do when you find hungry fish. And he goes and he finds Andrew. And Andrew doesn't worry. He knows exactly what to do. The consummate fisherman says, "Baby, when you got a fish on the line, the first thing you do is set the hook and bring them to Jesus." And I've come to preach to some people right now. It's time for some of you. You've been reaching a little bit. You've been touching base with that coworker every now and then. But when you go home, I pray God, somebody gets some boldness to set the hook. There may be a coworker you need to go to and say, "Listen, man, we've been working together for years, but it's time we really talk about Jesus' name baptism and about what I believe." Student, you may go to college and there's somebody you've been dealing with a little bit and afraid to tell them. I've come to tell you, under the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to get a Bible study with them and you need to tell them the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. How anybody glad that Jesus is interested in this? Oh, you ought to lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I've come to preach to somebody today. You got to have nets that are mended. If you're going to catch fish, you got to have nets that are ready for fish to come. But brother and sister, it ain't enough to have healthy nets. It's not enough just to have them ready. We need to get out there and we need to be casting our nets. And I know today that this is not a new thing. Thank God it's not. And I know you've heard it before. And I know in some ways it can make us uncomfortable. And I'm not here to just bring you under conviction by just abusing you today. But I have come to make you uncomfortable this morning. Because it was messages like this that woke a young man up that was raised in a pastor's home that had seen him mend nets for years and years. But one day the preacher kept preaching and I knew, "Joel Booker, you got to get up. Joel Booker, you're a teenager. And Joel Booker, you think you don't have much, but you gotta get up and you gotta just start casting your net." And I'll never forget the first time I knocked the door, my friend. It was not all I thought it was going to be. Although, Brother Montano, it took me a half hour to knock that first door. I walked back and forth in front of that house. They probably thought I was a stalker. They probably thought I was getting ready to rob them. But I finally was just praying, "Oh God," I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought they'd either, slam the door in my face or pass out talking in tongues as soon as I opened the door. And you know what happened? I knocked on the door and I said, "I'm your neighbor. You remember us? You're the one that your dog comes and kills our chickens." That really happened. That was the neighbor I invited to church. I figured he owed me a little bit. So I knocked on the door and I said, "I'm your neighbor next door. And I want to invite you to my church." And he said, "Thank you." And I said, "You're welcome." Shook his hand, and that was the end of the story. But friends, it didn't end there. It's ain't about Joel, but let me just tell you real quick, preaching like this can get somebody off their pew. And I began to reach, and for a while there, every day, after school, me and sometimes buddies of mine, we'd go and we'd knock doors in that little town. Knocking doors, inviting people to church. And I wish I could. Anyway, I never got one person to church while we were there. But I'll never forget. God called my daddy somewhere else. And we'd go knock doors. And I'll never forget the night I got a phone call. I wasn't there at church because it was Spanish service on a Thursday night. And the Spanish pastor called me up and said, "Joel, you know Yoleda that you knocked on her door and you invited her to church? She came tonight." And I was so happy. And then he didn't stop. He said, "Joel, she got the Holy Ghost. And she talked in tongues. And we baptized her in Jesus' name." And it was in that moment, as that fishing pole came alive, and that fish surfaced for the first time, that God got a hold of me. And I'll never be the same, because that addictive feeling's got on me, baby. And I'll never stop reaching for souls until the day I die. Hallelujah. And I've just come to preach to some young men today. Listen, buddy, you think church is boring? It's because you're going to church for the wrong reason. Listen, young lady, you think church is boring? It's because you ain't found out about the most exciting thing in the world. I've come to preach to some young. Get some gumption. Get out there, knock a door, and someday, somewhere, it will happen. It will happen. You're not going alone. It's Jesus that wants this to happen anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget. You can be seated. I've been talking to Brian for about 2 years, doing Bible studies. I think it was about 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. And he had seen so much, got so much. I mean, even holiness stuff. Before he ever got the Holy Ghost, he was getting rid of stuff. And we didn't even really talk about it, but God was working and convicting. And if he'd asked me a question, I told him. But we're just working with him. And finally, we really came to the crux of the matter in our Bible studies with baptism. He just could not see that you had to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he'd talk about the thief and the cross, and we'd go through that all day long. And buddy, we're talking pre-Pentecost here. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We'd give it to him and talk about it and work on it. And the next Bible study, he'd want to know about the thief on the cross. And so we worked. And finally, the Bible study began to pull away a little bit. He just wouldn't show up quite as much and wouldn't answer my calls and wouldn't call in. And I knew God was working on him. And I'll never forget, it had been a few months, hadn't heard from Brian. I was at the church and I got a call on my phone, and on the cell, I saw it was my buddy Brian. Went out and began to talk to him. Opening words were something like this: "Joel, I got to be baptized in Jesus' name. God's been dealing with me. I can't get away from it. And everywhere I look," and he began to preach to me my own arguments. He began to tell me the thief on the cross didn't need to be baptized. That was pre-Pentecost. And the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I said, "That's good, Brian. I don't know where you got that, but that's really good, Brian." Brian came, and Brian got baptized in Jesus' name. But he's deaf, or really hard for him to hear. And it was hard to kind of pray with him. And he sought the Holy Ghost for a long time. He'd lift his hands, and when you try to talk to him, he couldn't hear you. So he'd open his eyes and stop praying. And this would go back and forth. And I'll never forget, we were in revival with Brother Johnny Carroll. And we'd been seeing people get the Holy Ghost left and right. And in that, it was pre-service prayer, Brother Bray. And Brian was there, and he is bound up praying like this again. And finally, Brother Carroll's on one side, and I'm on the other. And my dad walked over, and I think he'd had enough wearing out the saints of the Most High. And he took Brian and he began to dribble him like a basketball. Before it was over, that man, hands raised, my baby, my fish, began to talk in tongues as the power of the Holy Ghost moved on him. Hallelujah. And I've come to preach to some young people and some saints of God. It's time to cast the net. It's time to cast the net. I'm almost done preaching. But since that day, Brian's been winning souls now. I got some grandbabies. Brian's brought Corey. He's been baptized. Brian brought Sandra. She's been baptized. She got the Holy Ghost. Brian brought Mark and Danny. They've both been baptized. Danny got the Holy Ghost. Just last Sunday morning, I baptized Roger and Randy that he brought. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing. Why you listen to me? Hallelujah. And I'm done preaching. Everybody's standing. The Holy Ghost is about to move in this place where Brother Hyler's preaching. But I want to end this by saying there is a young man here that your daddy is a net mender and he loves the people of God. He's a preacher of this gospel. And God's been calling you, son. God's been tugging at your heart, drawing you. But you've been saying, I don't want that. I don't want to be a net mender. I've seen my dad suffer and work so hard. And I've seen him plug holes and mend nets all my life. And I'd rather be a businessman. I'd rather be a lawyer. I'd rather make good money. But I've come to preach to you, young man. That's because you've only seen the mending side. And God wants you to see the other side that your daddy's already seen. When those mended nets go in the water and they fill up with fish, there's nothing like it in all the world. And I'm preaching to preachers and soul winners and Bible study teachers that have all but forgotten what it is to have a net full. Your nets are fixed and they're mended and they're dry and they're stowed under your seat. Have you forgotten what it is to sit across the table for somebody with tears running down their face and the oneness of God unfolds in their heart? Have you forgotten what it is to see them in an altar? You've worked a long time, and there they are, hands lifted, tongue talking, as Jesus does the miracle of salvation. I've come to preach today. You gotta have mended nets, but you gotta cast the nets. You gotta have mended nets, but you gotta cast the nets. Let's lift our hands and love Him. But I feel the call of Jesus. I feel the call of Jesus. And it's just as vital. And it's just as vibrant as it was 2,000 years ago. And He's saying, follow me, young man. Follow me, lady. Follow me. And I will make you. He'll make you what you are not, what you cannot be. He'll make you follow me. He's saying, are you listening? Are you listening? I've come to get a hold of you today, young man. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's lift our hands. Let's love the Lord.